This is Game On. With your host, Seat Williams.
Game On!
Back on the streets of Vegas, 3 o'clock standing tall, feeling good here on a Tuesday. Seat Williams. Market back in the Wheels of Steel as we do it. Getting you all ready for game number 6 in the World Series. Hopefully it won't be the last one. Love to have a game 7. We'll get to the football game shortly from last night. It's over at Twin Peaks. I'll tell you about the promotion they have tonight as far as Halloween goes. Nick Hamilton's going to join us in about 10 minutes. He's going to be in the parking lot at Chavez Ravine for that World Series game. Talking about the NFL trading deadline, some of the moves that happened. And this one dude may be trying to get Roger Goodell fired. Lighters at the bottom of the hour. Dope will be up. And that final go-round will tell you a little bit about trick-or-treating here in Las Vegas, where I'm proud to be from, my second home. And then somebody who's kind of in love with the city up north. It ain't me. I ain't a traitor. Yeah, my roots, San Diego, but then again, my backbone is here. Nothing with this little slimy city up north. And I ain't talking about the beautiful Lake Tahoe. It's a beautiful place.
You got to include it, though.
Yeah, it's a nice place. How you been? How was your trip? Now, you went where?
I went up north, saw Tahoe. I took a friend who, he didn't exactly go to UNLV, but loves him so much. I took him up there. He took his FUNR shirt and everything, and we had partied up there and saw Tahoe and saw the university and made some new friends, and it was amazing. It was amazing.
So you like Reno?
I love my university, my alma mater, and I love Lake Tahoe. I'll say the city has things to improve. I'll say the athletics have some things to improve on, but the university, it's kind of hard to beat how beautiful it is, man.
You're talking Tahoe, not Reno.
Well, the university in Reno. Come on now.
Yeah, I love Lawler Event Center.
Come on now. At least our stadium is on campus.
Oh, check me in 4 years, buddy. Yeah, our stadium won't be on campus, but an NFL team's going to be sharing it with us. Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah. And I went to UNLV for a semester, but that still makes me a rebel, technically. All right, on to the football game, lads. Welcome back. You made it safely.
Appreciate you, man.
Man, I hate that highway.
Oh, it's terrible.
Dude, going 15 north to Reno is the absolute worst, man. If you're doing it at night, do not try to pass, because you could be coming up over those one of those floating hills, and another car could be swaying, could have their lights off, could be going. You never know.
No doubt, it's dangerous.
And you notice every city, every little back hill town looks the same. I just passed it.
I'm like, what are you guys even doing here?
That's Groundhog Day, dude.
Yeah.
All right. Last night over at Twin Peaks. Now tonight, they have their Halloween leather and lace party. Start at 11 a.m. today, goes all the way till midnight. Happy hours from 2 to 7 and from 9 to midnight. And shots of Captain Morgan, just $2.99, or other shots you could tie a man. The game last night at Twin Peaks, I'm there every Monday night, the one on Eastern and Serene. Well, I mean, we're finding out that John Elway is getting this all wrong with Simeon. I'm sorry. Now, don't get me wrong. He didn't lose the game, but he helped him to lose the game. We talked about Denver's defense all over the place, all over the time, everywhere. Well, guess what? Peter says, hey, check out my defense.
Second down, 6. Charles again goes the right side again. The Chiefs. Now ball comes out. The ball's ripped up. Picked up by Peters at the 30, at the 20, at the 10. 5. Touchdown, Kansas City. Alex Smith looks a pass, wide open left side, Travis Kelce, over the shoulder catch, touchdown, Kansas City at the far front pylon, as open as you can be for a 29-yard touchdown, burning Darian Stewart. The Kansas City Chiefs have beaten the Denver Broncos for a fourth consecutive time. That has not happened in 17 years. And the Chiefs get it done and stay tied for the best record in the AFC at 6-2. Final score, Chiefs 29, the Broncos 19.
Kansas City Radio Network, Chiefs their defense getting it done. Alex Smith, still no picks. But if you're John Elway, you have to understand, Simeon ain't going to get you there. All right? Your defense, this is really what we kind of call wasted energy. You're going nowhere. If you don't have something to produce on the other side, then forget it. All right? And you need to get you a decent quarterback or someone that is at least capable of managing your offense. And Simeon ain't the guy. And that's just my opinion. You may feel differently out there, folk, but I'm sorry. He ain't the guy to me. Final score, 29-19. That was Kansas City's radio network. And then the trades. Garoppolo going to the 49ers from New England for a couple of second rounders. Jay Ajayi to the Eagles. Now, Jay, this makes a difference in their backfield. You got Carson Wentz, who was 6'5", 240, and a monster at quarterback in his sophomore year. He could be MVP this year if he stays healthy and keeps winning. 7-1, the best record in football. Now they get a dude with an edge. And like I said before, I interviewed this dude when they beat the Chargers a year or so back. I said, describe yourself as a runner. He says, angry. And he is physical, and he brings it. And I guess he has a knee issue, and that's another reason why long-term the Dolphins don't want to keep him. But you pick him up at the Eagles, you're pretty good. Benjamin from the Panthers, surprised they let him go to the Buffalo Bills, their best receiver. So things change there, but they're going nowhere this year. The Saints will probably be the team representing that particular division. And then all these other teams and players and going everywhere, but one dude is going home. His name is Ezekiel Elliott. Out, gone, not upheld, the restraint. So, and, you know, for Jerry Jones, okay, he's going to get a six-game suspension. He's getting popped for it. Okay, would it have been better to have it done earlier? I don't know. But Jerry Jones, a guy who I've always said I liked and supported, some of that, I still like him, but my support of him is kind of moved down on the scale when he started to say, if any of my employees do anything with the flag, you know, I mean, a control freak kind of guy, only owner to do it. And now we're talking about sexual assault with your player, and you're going to try to twist it on Roger Goodell and say, well, you know, because of what happened with Ray Rice, now he's trying to make up for it. No, he's not. See, here's the thing, though. With New England and Tom Brady, Roger Goodell kind of got away with it, you know, with the $1 million fine and took a draft choice away. Jerry Jones holds a grudge. Jerry Jones is trying to get Roger Goodell fired. Okay, Roger Goodell was supposed to get his contract extension before the season started. Okay, remember, this goes way back, pardon me, with Ezekiel Elliott from last year. So it rolls over. The investigation was already underway. So Jerry Jones is now trying to get other owners to come to his side to say, hey, you know, this dude, we don't need this dude. We're paying him $40 million. We need somebody else. Let's get him out of here. Jerry Jones is trying to get Roger Goodell out. And he's, remember some of the meetings he wasn't invited to with the players and the owners and the NFL. The players and the owners back with the NFL. And now Jerry Jones has been on this campaign, and I think it's personal because Ezekiel Elliott is his bread and butter, and he badass, but sorry. He got popped. He deserved it, and I don't know what's going to happen here. I mean, now you got the main force of the owners, a guy with power, and when a dude has money and power like a Jerry Jones, they feel like they can move things, and they can, but then again, he's got to have some people behind him. How many owners are behind him? If I'm Roger Goodell, I'm looking over my shoulder. I'm sitting in the corner, basically, though. I want everything in front of me because your back is bleeding. You've had it. Everyone's had it at their job sometime or another where, you know, you're getting shanked in the back from all angles and your back is bleeding. So you want to just – what you do is you got to stand up against the corner and watch everything and do your work. That's all you can do if you still like your job. There's two things about it. Now, you could love your job, but it doesn't mean you get along with all your coworkers. Now, if you don't like your job and you like your coworkers, then you might want to find another job. To me, the job is more important than the coworkers. To me, if I love my job, I'm going to do my best to keep my job despite not getting along or liking or disliking whatever with other coworkers, because I got to pay my bills, man. Sorry. Loving my job. All right. We're going to get Nick Hamilton up right now. He should be sitting in the parking lot of Dodger Stadium. Remember, game one, it was 103 the first pitch, and he was in the parking lot with his air conditioning going. I talked to Nick earlier today, and he told me that it's in the 70s in L.A. I'm like, wait a minute. No, 60s even. Okay, we got 70s here. So I got to check him on that climate, see if he's a meteorologist once we get him on the phone line here. But, yeah, Ezekiel Elliott, I'm sorry, dude. Just like your owner, sit down, shut up, and we'll see you in week 11, I believe it is. Or no, week 16, right? 6 weeks? Or is six, week 9 coming up? Yeah, 15, 16, somewhere around there. All right, no giveaway again today. We'll have one, I believe, Mark. I'll be back in town. We'll hook something up. But plenty of good dope coming up at the bottom of the hour. Headed down now to Dodger Stadium. I believe he's in the parking lot at Chavez Ravine. You in there yet? What's up, Nick Hamilton?
Oh, I'm already in the stadium, baby. I'm ready. I'm ready for game six.
Now, kind of, you're telling me it's in the 60s out there?
Yeah, it's about 68, 69 degrees outside. It's cloudy. So it's a great... Well, man, what can I say? It's not raining, so that's the great part about it.
And the interesting thing is Verlander's going to come in here. See, here's one thing that could favor the Dodgers is if Verlander comes in there just a little too hyped up. Because, let's face it, if he's on and he's, like, got that mellow tone where he's just right in the middle, not too high, not too low, then you're probably not going to get him. On the other hand, if he comes in just really hyped up, throwing the ball too hard, things of that nature, then maybe the Dodgers could put something together in the early innings where his control is off. Maybe he serves up a good one here and there. Otherwise, he's going to be hard to touch him on the other side.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if he wasn't a veteran and been in this position before, yeah, I'll have some definite concerns if I were the Astros, and I would definitely be cheering if I were the Dodgers. But at the same time, you know, this is a guy who's been there before. He knows what it takes to win. And I guarantee he's not going to try to let another opportunity pass him by without getting another World Series ring. So that's what makes him the most dangerous, is the fact that this is a guy who's undefeated in the postseason, technically still. So, you know, game six on the line, yeah, for me to not be nervous. And you know, I talked to a few Dodger fans while I was here, and they're confident in their team, but you can tell, you know, the confidence level isn't as high as, say, you know, when they won game four. We'll see what happens. You know, it's going to be a great game nonetheless. Two guys going at it. Rich Hill's going to have to pitch the game of his life. This is probably the biggest game in his career of all time. Game six, trying to force a game seven on Wednesday.
Hey, now, have you heard anything about what Davey Johnson's going to do as far as Hill? A pitch count, how many guys he'll allow to get on base, how much the lead he'll let happen the other way if it goes that direction?
I mean, basically, I think Dave Roberts is going to, kind of go with the flow. He's going to see how everything goes. He's going to make his decisions there. But he's definitely got to make sure his you know, bullpen is right. He's definitely got to make sure his starter in Rich Hill can at least go six innings, maybe seven if necessary. But you know, Rich Hill's got...
We're losing you.
Hear me?
Hey, we got a bad line. We're going to call you right back, all right?
Okay.
We'll pop you right back. Yeah. I'm concerned. I want to see seven. I don't know if we will, though. But then again, you know, the pitching matchup is just that. It doesn't mean that Verlander is going to have his stuff. But if I were the Dodgers fans, okay, players different. Players are going to come in there confident. Fans, I'd be on edge. I certainly would be on edge. I'm not a Dodger fan, but I'm a West Coast fan, okay? So I'm rooting for the Dodgers to get this to a game seven. It's just been too much fun. I mean, I think as the fans and as reporters, members of the media. We deserve an extra game, right?
Well, you know what? I mean, it would be nice. I know Major League Baseball would enjoy another seventh game, especially the one they had last year in the World Series where it actually went extra innings. So I'm sure MLB, they could get the dream matchup between the Dodgers and the Yankees. I'm sure Game 7 would suffice, at least for right now, economically. But as you were asking your question from before, too, I think, you know, Rich Hill's got to be ready to go. He's got to be ready to give at least six, maybe even seven. This is a game that you've been playing for all year long. So there's no reason to be tired. There's no room for to be tired or exhausted. So this is it.
All right. Nick Hamilton, NBC LA, morning after, 8 to 9 a.m. on Dash Radio Saturdays. Now, did Davey Johnson overmanage his bullpen last time around with Rich Hill in that game two?
I think Doc played the hand he was dealt. You know, I think Dave Roberts is the kind of guy that will play the hand he's dealt. He will do what it takes to get it done. And, you know, unfortunately, he just ran out of arms. The same thing with the Astros. The Astros had the same problem. Eventually, they just ran out of arms. Especially going extra innings doesn't help at all. So I think it's a matter of, like I said before, this is the game that you've been playing for all year long, starting in spring training. This is the goal that you had for the last couple of years. So here it is. What are you going to do? Are you going to show up, or are you going to just punk out and give way to fatigue? It's up to you. The Dodgers are at home. That's a plus. They have opportunities, like I said, to force a game seven tonight.
Yeah, I've been really fascinated by the play because you don't really know which way the game's going to go. We're going to have a pitcher's duel. I thought game two was probably the most fascinating baseball I've seen in my entire life. Okay,
yes.
The World Series. That was just unbelievable. Now, the first game was classic, too. I wanted a pitcher's duel to start. I got it. Second game, just unbelievable, just drama. And then, of course, each team won one in between. And then the last game, which went 10 innings, it was almost like a softball all-star game. I mean, you just didn't know who was going to hit what where. And you've got guys 5-5, Altuve hitting homers. This dude is sensational, man. He's incredible.
I mean, he is the Allen Iverson of baseball. I mean, he has so much heart to be a little guy, but he has the heart of a seven-footer. He has a determination in his eye. You can see it. It's been infectious the last couple of games. Between, you know, George Springer, Carlos Correa, and just that whole entire franchise. And so you can see it. I mean, the Astros have the momentum right now. They figured out a way to get to the Dodgers' best player on the mound, which was Clayton Kershaw. So now all the chips seem to be in their favor, and that's what they believe right now.
Yeah, they believe they can hit whoever you put on the mound, and they can. I mean, they've been raking all year, number one in every category, number two in home runs, everything else. Run scored, clutch hitting, you name it, on-base percentage, every offensive category that's imaginable, the Houston Astros are number one in each and every category. So, yeah, offensively. But in the end, though, we're finding this out about them also. They don't feel pressure. They don't feel pressure at all, Nick. I mean, look, the Dodgers, this is their first time as well, but the Astros seem like they've done it before. It almost seems like this team was here last year and lost it and are coming back to get some redemption the way they're playing.
Well, franchise history, this is their second trip to the World Series. I mean, when you look at the series they had previously before the Dodgers, the Yankees were a tougher team because they had to figure out how to get around such young guys and a mixture of talented pitching. So I think it made the Astros stronger coming into the World Series. And then, like you said before, too, there was no pressure on the Astros. All the pressure was on the Dodgers because they were the favorite. They were the favorite coming in, the way they got to the World Series. So all eyes were on the Dodgers, and people kind of sort of forgot about the Astros on the field. I mean, I know everybody was rallying around them because of the devastating hurricane that hit Houston. But I think a lot of people didn't pay attention really to the Astros and how well they play until the postseason.
Will we see a game seven?
Oh, that's tough. My mind is telling me no, but my heart is telling me yes. So I'm going to roll with my mind on this one. It's going to be tight, but it wouldn't surprise me if there was a Game 7. It wouldn't surprise me if the Astros go ahead and close it out tonight. They have the best chance to close it out with Verlander on the field tonight.
You know, I hope your heart is right, but I kind of believe your mind might be telling you the truth.
I think
the Astros are the better team. I do. I think the setup, the way they set things up pitching-wise, to have Verlander be the – you know, the second game starter, and it comes around to, well, now he's game six, and they have a lead with a game to close it out. I think that right there gives them a big edge. I think Verlander's going to be around the seventh, eighth inning. That's the unfortunate thing, if I'm right.
Might be. We'll see. It's going to be a great game nonetheless. So I'm looking forward to watching and checking it out to see what happens. Maybe Yasiel Puig was right. Maybe they can force a game seven. We'll see. He promised it, so we'll see if he'll deliver on his promise.
All right, let's move on. Coming up tonight also, Detroit and the Lakers. Your thoughts about so far what's going on there? They're favored by 4-2-0-8, your total.
Well, I mean, the Pistons are red hot. They're 5-2. They've come in. The SoCal beat one other SoCal team in the Clippers. And so they're going to try to go ahead and complete the SoCal sweep tonight against the Lakers. The one thing about the Lakers is that they actually have improved in their defense. They're 11th in the NBA in defense, which is surprisingly because I think most people have focused on their offense, but not so much their defense. And so the Lakers are going to have to definitely get back into the groove of where they found it. They're going to have to find ways to win like they did in Phoenix. And like in other games where Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram had big-time games and be able to facilitate and spread the ball around to guys like Jordan Clarkson, guys like Larry Nance Jr., Kuzma.
Stay with us. I'm losing you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. Gotcha.
Sorry about that. Dodger Stadium, man. What can I tell you? No, I think they just have to really be able to spread the ball around and make smart decisions when it comes to their shot selection, because that's one of the main ways to beat Detroit is excellent ball movement. That's what the Lakers are going to have to display tonight.
All right, let's move on to football. One team in L.A. is really starting to pick up steam with the fans and also on the winning side, and we call them the L.A. Rams. And the Rams will be at the Giants 10 a.m. this coming Sunday. And this team right here, they play like the sleeve on their coach. They're young. They're fiery. It's almost like they're like, okay, we're football players. We are very skilled. We are very gifted, and we don't know any better. We're just going to go and kick some ass.
I mean, that's basically what it is. You summed it up right there. I mean, the energy from Sean McVay is definitely infectious. His handprint is all over this team. The smart thing about Sean McVay, he has no ego. He allows his coaches the various positions. He lets Wade Phillips handle the defense. Obviously, he's in communication with his coaches, special teams, positions like that. But he lets them coach. He allows them to coach their specific positions, which is great because he can focus on the head coaching duties as well as the offense, which he's definitely transformed. And if they, let's say, you know, as you and I had talked earlier, if the Rams happen to finish 10-6, even if they don't win the NFC West, which we're at Seattle Seahawks right now, but at the end of the day, they don't finish atop of the NFC West, maybe in second place. I think you have to give Sean McVay Coach of the Year honors.
Yeah, they don't really have a cakewalk as far as the schedule. They get this week, they're coming off a bye. They get the Giants at the Giants, then they come home to Houston, and we've seen what's going on there with their quarterback. Watson is just tearing it up. Minnesota, they go there, a very good defense, and they're just 6-2. Getting it done all over the place. The Saints, after that, at home. Arizona, then Philly comes in. Seattle, Tennessee. Sam, boy, you know what? They don't care, right? They don't care who the opponent is. They don't care what color the uniforms are. Just bring them on. Let's just go. Let's smash mouth.
Well, and that's exactly what they do. I mean, the premier games are going to be.
We lost you, brother. All right, we're going to have to roll. We'll get back to him. We got to move out. It's the second time we lost him, unfortunately. Lose him twice. Don't want to strike out. So that's Nick Hamilton. I'll give you information on him once again. NBC LA, morning after, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Saturdays on Dash Radio. Check him out. You can tell he's loaded. anything I need in L.A., he's going to be our handle there the whole year, whether it be if we go hockey. Vegas Golden Knights go to play the Kings or the Ducks, he'll probably be at the games if nothing else is going on in the other sports, and we'll get him on that too. All right, we're going to step away. When we get back, lighters up, dope is next.
Man, I've been saving for a special occasion.
Like a quarter pounder, man. Let's the blow.
Hey, be careful with that, man.
Is it heavy stuff, man? Will it blow me away?
It's time now for Man, That Show Is Dope.
3:33 in the valley. Lighters up. Pass it. Going to take you back to New York, where coming up this Saturday, November 4th, UFC 217. The return of GSP. He takes on Michael Bisping, huh? And guess who's in his corner? If you don't know, you're going to shake your head no, or you're going to shake your head and say, okay, we'll see what happens. He needs to work on his boxing skills. I've never been a real GSP fan because, to me, he's always been boring. To me. So his stand-up needs to be worked on. So he's been out in L.A. working with the guy who's been with Manny Pacquiao, Miguel Cotto, and many others. He's working with the man, the legend, Freddie Roach. Freddie Roach will be in his corner come Saturday. And Freddie says, hey, you know, he's done a really good job. He's doing well. I'm going to be heading up to Montreal soon. Actually, this was beforehand. He's talking about getting things ready. I'll spend 3 days in Montreal, 4 days here, moving back, no problem. Freddie's 57, you know, had Parkinson's for the longest, but, I mean, he knows his craft. Look, to me, in the end, you're bringing in a new dynamic. You're a guy who likes to be on the mat, but if he can help your fighting skills against Bisping, who will be bringing some haymakers, to me, Freddie Roach in the octagon, not in the squared circle, with GSP, dope.
Been a smart move.
It's a risky, though. It's risky.
I agree. Do you think that more UFC fighters are going to go to boxing coaching?
If it works.
Okay.
If it works.
And do you think it's because of Mayweather, McGregor?
I don't know why. I think if you have skills that you need to work on, though, and you see a guy who's in a corner, let's say, for example, take a Floyd Sr. Or Roger Mayweather. If you want to learn certain things about the squared circle to make yourself better as a stand-up and a striker, then why not? If you're training and you're a guy who's on the mat, jiu-jitsu or something of that nature, but you want to incorporate striking because your opponent is a striker and you just want to work on that area, whatever the case may be, you just want to make your skills better, then why not get a boxing trainer? It doesn't even have to be for a fight. You can have a boxing trainer hiring flyer into your city to help you upgrade your skills in that. I think this is cool for GSP. I'm not a fan of his. He's boring to me, but it won't be a boring fight because Michael Bisping is going to make it entertaining. So for Freddie Roach to be in the corner of GSP in his return, I think it's kind of dope.
Yeah, definitely.
We'll see if it works.
Becoming a more versatile fighter and taking that skill set into the octagon, like you said, definitely pretty dope. As we know, Texans knelt this weekend after comments from the owners basically comparing football players to inmates. And so my guy, my dope guy of the week, Jadeveon Clowney, dressed like an inmate for Halloween. And people are still speculating whether that's a shot at the owners or not. But I think that's pretty funny and pretty dope to make it a moment of humor, but also to do whatever you have to do to represent your opinion, to represent your feelings on the situation as a player, while people are trying to silence these guys, you know? And that's how it feels among the fan base, among some owners. It just feels like they're trying to muffle football players after, you know, what's been happening with Cap and the whole movement, which started with police brutality and has completely been driven to some other tangent. But I think that's pretty funny, and that's pretty dope on him.
Yeah, I agree, but it wasn't funny what the owner said from the Texans.
No, no.
The inmates running the asylum. He said it out in the open.
Right.
And once you get it out there and the media gets it, and then your players get it, and they all locked arms for that game they just had up in Seattle. They got beat, I think it was 41-38 by the Seahawks, but the players were pissed. And a couple of the players say, I don't want to be here anymore. My owner is like that. But think about how much worse it is, though, for Jerry Jones to say, if you do show your freedom of speech, you ain't here anymore.
To me,
that's even worse.
It reminds me of the prison warden in The Longest Yard. Where he says something like that.
All right. On to Shaq. You always get a laugh with Shaq. He was recently hosting Jimmy Kimmel, and he was doing a monologue. Shaq standing there. I'm like, okay, you know what? Let me see what he's got. Shaq, pretty funny. He was, when you see him doing his thing with Charles Barkley, we mentioned, and Kenny the Jet, he's sensational. But Shaq doing a monologue on Jimmy Kimmel. Give a listen.
Welcome to Jimmy Kimmel Live. I'm not Jimmy Kimmel. I'm your guest host, Shaquille O'Neal. That's right. Tonight, ABC goes from Blackish to Shaqish. But before we get started, I have one rule tonight. If you don't laugh, I'll kick your ass. Got it? That goes for you too, Guillermo.
Guillermo!
Whatever. For those of you wondering where Jimmy is, he's right here. And he was delicious. And he will be missed. All right.
Is that you, man? Did you mark it? And we give you more. He goes on and on. He compares to Michael Jordan. Come back to him coming back here, how he was succeeding. Michael failed in baseball. But he's funny. Shaq is in his commercials. From the General to all the other Heat commercials on the muscles, Shaquille O'Neal is hilarious, all right? The Big Diesel, and actually multi-talented. Remember his album? Album, movies, basketball, commentary? When a dude is, it's kind of like a Jamie Foxx, a guy who can, he's a myriad of all the different things that you can imagine as far as skill sets. Shaquille O'Neal is all that. And pretty dope.
No doubt. And to for Jimmy Kimmel to call on Shaquille O'Neal to come in and host the show in his place, and for Shaq to just kill it right off the bat, I mean, a testament to his skills with the sports networks that he does commentary for, you know, the comedy that's been seen in his own movies. The guy is just so versatile and multi-talented. You can't really say anything bad about him.
Nope.
Pretty dope. Gonna take it to the NBA, kind of. Jordan Clarkson, Lakers, loses Papa Shot to LaMelo Ball. And after what LaMelo's been through this year, you know, a lot of critics on him. He's just 16. A lot of attention on him because of his older brother. And finally just gets the chance to have fun at a birthday party, playing a game of Papa Shot against Clarkson. And ends up beating him and earning $200 off of that win. And I just think that's hilarious. And we got commentators saying things like, can we see this in the future on the court? And maybe so. But for LaMelo to show his skills and have fun at the same time and get to be a kid and win $200 off of an NBA player playing a basketball arcade game, to me, pretty dope.
That's a snatch and grab. What, two snaps? I mean, you're a kid. You know, I'm quite sure he's got some pockets, you know, with paper in it. But to beat an NBA dude and you're still in high school, you talk about street cred. Everybody knows now you go back to school, everybody's going to want to take you on. So if you're really good, you set it up and you lose a game. And then you up the stakes. You're kind of like a guy who plays pool.
Oh, no.
Right? He's a ringer. Oh, he goes in town. You've never seen him before, right? And he'll lose a couple of games and keep putting money up there, and guys will be snatching his money. He's, okay, look, everything I got, boom. Then he drops a sack of, like, $20,000 up. You know what? This guy's a fool. Then you put everybody pitches in, and he takes everybody's money and runs.
Is this a testament to LaMelo as a potential talented shooter?
Well, we saw him, what, he get 100 and something points in a high school game
last
year?
He's not bad, yeah.
kid's pretty. Look, he's got the genes, and his daddy's got the mouth. All right. All right, let's move on to New England. And this right here is more about Chargers defensive lineman Chris McCain. And Chris McCain, in every game that he's at, no matter if he's at home in StubHub or on the road, he'll pick a kid from the stands randomly. And he'll bring that kid on the field, let the kid get the experience of what it's like on an NFL field, a kid, just a random kid. And then at the end of the game, he'll find that kid again, take his jersey off, sign his jersey, and give it to the kid. Well, in New England, the security guard wouldn't let the kid on the field. And the reason why is because the kid did not have a security pass. All right? So McCain went and got him a security pass, and the guard got personal, wouldn't let him on anyhow. So eventually, they had to smuggle the kid on the field. He got it done. And afterwards, it all ended well. Played the game. Although the Patriots won the ballgame, McCain got the jersey to the kid. And all is well in the valley. So for Chris McCain, the kids, the jersey, on the field, I like that. That's dope.
That's always been one of my most exciting, or one of the things I like most about the NFL is the star power and the role modeling to children and seeing their eyes light up when they get to speak to their favorite players or get apparel from their favorite guys. I think that's always pretty dope and a wonderful moment. Tonight, Astros, LA, Game 6. A couple lucky Astros fans who went viral after catching Yasiel Puig's home run ball and tossing it back onto the field are being shipped out first class to the game tonight by the Astros. That family, Vim Head, his wife caught the ninth inning bomb, and now they're going to get to check out the game off a first class flight, and it doesn't get much better than that. I think it's pretty hilarious watching the fans throw the ball back onto the field. I mean, the game is competitive. You could tell that they're very passionate Astros
fans. So they're getting
the
trip from somebody in the Astros organization?
Let me confirm, actually. They just said somebody offered to fly us out. They don't even know
who
it's from. So
take the trip.
They can take the trip. And that's a wonderful gift. It just shows that there's so much potential for cool stuff to happen in sports. And that family, very lucky they'll be at the game tonight after their first class flight and probably some champagne.
That's awesome. All right. Lighters down. Final go round coming up. In that final go round, we'll give you our who's in, our top six in college football. Of course, the committee tells you who the real teams will be coming up after our show on ESPN, but we're going to give you our six after this. Game on.
Now back to Game On with Seat Williams.
Back on the streets of Vegas, 349. Final go round brought to you by Reliable Banner at ReliableBanner.com. Okay, once again, Twin Peaks, where I was at last night. The girls were dressed all up in their Halloween getup. Tonight is called Leather and Lace. It goes all the way till midnight. Happy hours 2 to 7, 9 to 12. And shots of Captain Morgan, $2.99, or you could switch those shots out. So go check them out. Believe me, you will have a good time in there. It's nice. Also, all right, I'm going to ask you this right here, Marcus. The Metro, they put a curfew in for Halloween trick-or-treaters. Your guess, what time is the curfew for the kids to be in the house?
I'm going to say 10. Earlier?
Lower.
12.
Lower.
How are we going?
Lower meaning 9 o'clock.
Really? Well, it's not going to get dark until about... It gets dark early, dude.
It gets dark at 6.
Around 6?
Yes.
6 to 9?
Pay attention out there, man.
But that means the parents got to get right off work. You got to go home, get cleaned up, probably put your costume on, put your kid's costume on. And that's about...
Wait a minute.
If everybody's doing the average 9 to 5.
Look, it's Halloween, kids. You don't clean up. You go home.
True.
And you throw your clothes on top of the dirty clothes you're wearing already.
9 p.m. is a good curfew, I guess.
It's safe.
Yeah, it's definitely safe.
It's okay. I mean, everyone's going to have their fun. I don't really do much handing out candy, especially tonight. I'll be watching Game 6. Kids will be...
You just got to turn the porch light off. That's it.
Kids will be...
Turn the game up all the way up. Blast it.
Put put my headphones on. Nah. Anyway, be careful out there, though. I'm quite sure there's going to be some places where they have points for check for alcohol, anyone impaired. So have fun, man. It's Halloween. Get dressed up. Go out. I used to go out. I went out as Jason Voorhees of Friday 13th.
Oh, man, that's wild.
Oh, dude. We went into a nightclub, me and the girl back then, and I just stood there, and girls were just spreading out, running. Had the look, dude, a black Jason Voorhees. All right. Unfortunately, our Vegas Golden Knights didn't get it last night in New York. The Islanders got them 6-3. They play the Rangers tonight, so they're 8-2. Be a tough game tonight. I don't know. The Al is a better club than the Rangers. Then they get Boston down the stretch later in the week. So it's going to be a tough road trip, 6 in a row. Now, coming up after us on ESPN TV, the committee, who's in? All right. Give me your six teams from 6 down to 1, Marcus Laverne. Who's in?
From 6 down to 1, starting.
Let me write them down as you do it.
Okay, starting in number 6. Okay, yep. Ready? I got Penn State. I got Oklahoma. Notre Dame. Ohio State.
Wait, slow down. Give me numbers.
Number 3. So, where you at?
Yeah, yeah. 6, Penn State's number 1.
5, Oklahoma.
Notre Dame. 4, Notre Dame. 4.
3, Ohio State. 2, Georgia.
Okay.
Number 1, Alabama.
Got you. And you know what? I don't care what they say right now. 1 and 2 have to be where they are.
Yeah.
Okay? I worked backwards. I kind of came back. Clemson, I have a number 8. I mean, that was a really tough loss when they lost to Syracuse. Right. I mean, how do you make up for that? You don't. Penn State, I want them in, but I'm being fair. I put them at number 7. So Ohio State is number 6, not quite in. Notre Dame, I want in,
yeah,
but they have a loss. So to me, they're number 5. All of my teams in are undefeated. I got Miami at number 4. They're 7-0. Okay? Nobody's looking at Wisconsin. They're 8-0. I got Wisconsin at number 3. And then the Bulldogs, 8-0 at number 2, and then Bama, number 1. So, look, Miami may not even be mentioned. They may not be in the top 6, but why not? They're 7-0. Who was it they beat last week? Was it I know they beat Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech's had some really close losses.
Exactly, and they're always a tough team to beat. And that's why I'm looking forward to that Georgia Tech game later on this season. Because I think that's going to be a decisive factor in them being that highly ranked in the playoffs. That's always a game that even an SEC powerhouse can lose.
I know Wisconsin's not sexy. We like Bama. We like Georgia. Miami, no one's talking about, but they're unbeaten. I mean, they own that conference right now. They're 7-0, so they're 4. Wisconsin 3 at 8-0. Georgia and Bama, but we'll see what the committee has coming up. All right, that'll wrap it up. Thanks to our special guest Nick Hamilton. He's out at the World Series Game 6. He's NBC LA. Catch him on Dash Radio morning after Saturdays, 8 to 10 a.m. Also, Marcus Laverne. He's our man in the wheels of steel. He's got the ones and twos. I'm Seat Williams, folk. Ken Stuck, low guards up high. We'll see you on the radio. More of the show tomorrow. That's NBC Sports Radio. The game. Game on. Game over.